Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 15, and we will center our preaching on verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we marvel at your word. We marvel at your Son who has given us this sermon. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to receive your word. Help us to remember it. And to walk in it, Lord, until we meet you, and then for eternity, as the Lord Jesus has already said in this sermon, your words will never pass away. So, Lord, let us cleave to you now as we listen. Help us to worship you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You remember this sermon begins with Beatitudes. It really begins with grace. God blessing a people, granting them a new life in Christ, and giving them a new heart. It's only in Christ that we could ever have a heart that would be humble, one that would be poor in spirit, or that we would properly mourn regarding our sins, or any of the blessings that are given in the Beatitudes. And just as a symphony has different movements, this sermon almost, we could say, has three movements. The first movement, chapter 5, is really how we should walk before the Lord amidst other people. We are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, and he had to correct a number of misunderstandings of the law that the Pharisees were putting out there so that we could walk properly before him, not to hate someone in our heart or to look upon someone lustfully and think we hadn't committed adultery, on through that chapter. Chapter 6 is about our walk before the Lord. You notice that he mentions something done in secret, our prayer. In the last message we've had in the book of Matthew, we looked at three aspects of our secret walk before the Lord. We're to do charitable deeds, and they will be seen before men many times, but we're not to sound a trumpet. We're not to make a show of it. The Lord lets it be anonymous, fine. If not, sometimes it can't be that. But still, he sees we're doing it in secret before him, and he'll reward us openly. We saw in the prayer here that if we're praying secretly to him, not necessarily just in our closet, but if we have to pray in public, it's not to show ourselves before others as the hypocrites do, but to honor him. And he sees that working in secret, he'll reward us openly. We saw about discipline, fasting. We do that before the Lord. We're not trying to look like we're fasting, but we discipline ourselves before the Lord, and he sees that in secret and rewards us openly. Now, of those three things that he's going to want us to do in secret, the Lord Jesus amplifies this second one the most. It speaks about prayer, particularly how we might have a model prayer. And we're going to look at this under three heads. First of all, the introduction. And then secondly, the preface to the prayer. And then finally, just the first petition. We'll look at the other five petitions in a later time if the Lord wills. And when we look at the introduction, the Lord Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray. And that word therefore is there for a reason. We've already read about all the ways we shouldn't be praying openly, just trying to show people how holy we are and making long, lengthy prayers so people will say something about them. That would be our reward, by the way, if you were just doing it so someone say something. And he doesn't want us to using vain repetitions, just saying the same thing over and over again, thinking we might be able to move God to do something just by our vain repetitions. Well, this prayer that he's going to give certainly isn't a lengthy prayer, and it's definitely not of vain repetitions. It's actually the perfect prayer. Now, it's not the only prayer that we would ever pray, because it's a model prayer. If we were just to say it over and over again, that's all we would pray, that would something be of a vain repetition. But it's one we can pray, one that many times we memorize as a child, we say it as a family, and it can be prayed like that. But it also has within it all of the elements of prayer, and the Lord Jesus directs us how we are to pray before the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus had said, when you pray, go into your closet or your secret room. Remember, he's not saying that's the only place you can pray. He himself, in John 17, prayed before the disciples. And you're reading along in the Gospels, you'll find Jesus launching out into prayer in the presence of his disciples, sometimes looking up into heaven, thanking his Father that he had not revealed these things to the wise and prudent, but had revealed them unto babes. And so we can have a public prayer, but it simply must be a prayer unto the Lord and not unto men. There are lengthier prayers than this. Daniel 9 is a lengthier prayer. How about Psalm 119? That's a lengthier prayer. And sometimes in our closet, we'll have lengthy prayers as we want to spend more time magnifying the Lord, thanking him, glorifying him, praising him, and then bringing many specific petitions, not just the three petitions here, but ones amplifying this for individuals. So there might be lengthier prayers there, of course. But he has this short model prayer that really has all the elements of prayer. You can't have more in a prayer than Jesus has placed here. It was Stuart Olliott who said, he was teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you were really going to preach this prayer, it might take 6 months to go through all the words, word by word, almost a sermon per word. And he said, but I don't think you could get it less than three sermons. So he's preaching three sermons. I don't know how many I'll be preaching on it, but certainly just one here. And so we have this great introduction. I want to note some things about this. First of all, it's a corporate prayer. It's our Father. And as you go through the prayer, we're praying for one another. It's not just for myself or yourself, but all of us, that we all might hallow the Lord and that we might see him in this way, that he might provide for all of us our daily bread, etc. And then secondly, note that you could be going into your prayer closet and still be proud. You understand that? You're saying, well, at least I'm not a hypocrite. I'm in my prayer closet again. And you start building yourself up regarding this. Knox Chamberlain points this out. He says, entering a prayer closet makes us vulnerable to a special kind of pride, comparing ourselves favorably to the hypocrites who crave acclaim and are reckoning themselves by virtue of our chosen place of prayer and our humble attitude. And then he has a footnote. I like this footnote. It's from C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, where Screwtape, the senior demon, says to Wormwood, the junior demon, your patient has become humble. Have you drawn this fact to his attention? And so we could be proud in our prayers, even if they're in a closet. Note thirdly, that it's not just going secretly in your heart into a room. Wherever you are, it's secretly in your heart. You can be going about and calling upon the Lord secretly. If you read the book of Nehemiah, just watch. how it is that he's always calling upon the Lord throughout that book. And the Lord does reward him openly. And let's also note that we can repeat ourselves in prayer. You remember the Lord Jesus in the garden? He prayed the same words three times to the Lord. We know that Paul asked the Lord three times to remove the thorn in the flesh. And that Paul speaks in his epistles of praying certain things constantly for a church. So Jesus isn't saying we can never repeat ourselves. And then we note finally that this is a very short and simple prayer, but yet it's complete and profound. It properly leads us to the Lord first and helps us then to speak before him as we should. It tells us what we are to say and how we are to say it. So this is this wonderful introduction. In this manner, therefore, pray. So what's the preface in this holy address? Or the invocation, as some call it. Our Father in heaven. Now that's the King James and the New King, that's the New King James, but the NASB says this, our Father who is in heaven. So what's the difference? Well, when you say our Father in heaven, he is in heaven, but when you say our Father who is in heaven, there's something about that second way of saying it. Same words, but a different translation that reminds us, oh yeah, you are in heaven, Lord. And it's not that God isn't omnipresent. The Father is here too. But he wants us to, in Jesus calling us to prayer, remember, God is above. He is not worldly. He created this world. The sin of that this world is there, but he is not involved in that sin in the sense that he is pure and holy in all his ways. He is above us. He is the Heavenly Father. He's the righteous Father. And so the Lord Jesus brings this to our attention. So we do remember here that it is a corporate prayer for the church. It's not self-centered, but God-centered and other-centered. So we pray, our Father who is in heaven, all of us together corporately. It's an exclusive prayer. What do we mean by an exclusive prayer? Only Christians can rightfully call God Father. Now, he's the creator of all. Someone could say, well, aren't we his offspring? Well, that's what Paul said in the book of Acts, quoting one of the poets. But he wasn't saying that he is the father of all. We know this from John 17. Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I don't pray for those who cannot call me father properly because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So it's exclusive to Christians. 1 John 3 says, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. What a privilege it is to call him our Father. And only Christians all over the world and in heaven can say truly, you are my Father. And that by the Lord Jesus Christ purchasing that. See, it's a purchased blessing that the Lord Jesus had to pay for our sins to make a way so that we could call him our Father. He would take his blood into the most holy place in heaven on our behalf, paying for all of our sins. And then he'd send his blessed Spirit to open our hearts to believe on the Lord Jesus and to call then him our Father. So what a privilege we have, this exclusive prayer, a blood-bought privilege. This is an intimate prayer. Now, some of us have had good fathers, wonderful fathers that we honored, and they were really honorable. Others have not had good fathers. A father who may have beaten our mother, a father who may have beaten us, a father who may have left the family at the age of three. Who knows what it might have been? But this is a father who is pure and holy and righteous. And I pray for all those who have not had a good father that they will look solely at the Father and know that he has brought them to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ, an intimate Father. We draw nigh to him by the blood of Christ. And he has placed us in his Son. How close can you be to the Father closer. You can't be closer than the Son. This is how intimate this Father is. We draw nigh to a loving Father who loved us and gave his Son for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we boldly say the Lord is our helper. Our Lord Jesus on the cross was forsaken of his Father. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we would never, ever be forsaken of God. We draw nigh to the Lord through the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was given to lead us to come to Christ, to go to the Father. And so every time we call on the Father, it's through the power of the Spirit. And we pray he will fill us with his Spirit that we might call upon him. So this is an intimate prayer that we pray to an intimate Father. Now William Henderson talks about this invocation, this preface, when it says, "Our Father who art in heaven," it speaks of his imminence, of how close he is to us. But it also speaks of his transcendence. He is our Father who is in heaven. Yes, he's very close to us, but he is a Father in heaven who is above all, that the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. He is utterly beyond us in all things. He is not like us. You know, we're made in his image, but he's not made in ours. You must understand that. We show forth some attributes of God, communicable attributes, but he is infinite in glory and power and eternity. And we must always go before him as we come to him intimately. We come to him reverentially and full of worship. And that brings us to the first petition. Hallowed be your name. That your name would be holy. That it would always be held holy in our hearts. That we would never take his name in vain, lightly. And just as the Ten Commandments teach us all of the things we might be able to do, that God would have us do, that every commandment we have is flowing from that. As Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments, that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbors ourselves, that this prayer helps us pray in all aspects that we would ever need to pray. You can begin here and go to every prayer that you would pray. And so this is the first of six petitions. Now, commentators looking at these petitions, there's the first three that speak more Godward and the other three more towards us on this earth. And it's Knox Chamberlain who takes this verse. If we go there, verse 10, when it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In his commentary, he says this phrase, "as it is in heaven," could be applied to all three of those first petitions. In other words, let your name be hallowed as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how is the Lord's name hallowed in heaven right now? Isaiah 6 says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And they weren't saying that just one time. This is what is being said now before the Lord. He is being hallowed in heaven. And we are to hallow him on the earth, as he is hallowed in heaven. This takes us into the realm of worship. How often should we be worshiping? Well, certainly on the Lord's day. But we've entered into a rest that is eternal. He is our Sabbath rest every day. We are to rise in worship to the Lord. He is to be our first love. And we think of Jacob. It says that he worshiped the Lord leaning upon the top of his staff. He's an old man. He can't even walk without his staff. But what's he doing? He's worshiping God. He's hallowing the name of the Lord. So he's hallowed in heaven. He is to be hallowed by us, worshiped, reverenced, adored. We are to find ourselves in rapturous astonishment and wonder before him. It is to give him the fear due his name. It is to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not just worshiping him in prayer. It's in all that we do. We are to hallow the Lord and hallow his name. We hallow his name in the redemption that he had for us. Remembering, Lord, I can't even come before you without the Lord Jesus, who has paid for my sins. And I confess my sins before the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we're praying, Lord, may all of us hallow him together. We are one body in Christ. We come together to worship him. All of us worshiping the Lord. Now, there are great distractions in worship, and you know that. You had a flat tire on your way. How am I going to get the tire fixed? Something is stressing you through the week, and you bring that into worship. It's very difficult. Somehow we have to press through all that and remember the Lord himself and give him the glory due his name. So may the Lord help us to hallow his name. But what is it to hallow his name? When we name something, a lot of times it's just a label. This is a piece of wood, right? We could form it into something. We could describe it, but we're just labeling it. When we speak of God's name, we're talking about him, a person, all that he is, all that he does. And he even represents himself by many names. He's not just God. He's Lord. He's God Almighty. He's the everlasting Father. And so let us think a little bit about his name. It's all that he is and all that he does and all that he's purposed. We are to hallow him. We are to hallow him as the triune God. When we say our Father who is in heaven, we can't come to the Father but by the Son. We can't come to the Father but by the power of the Spirit. And so when we're speaking to the Father, we're actually must be mindful that we're coming to one God who is triune. We're coming to the Father who eternally begot the Son. Coming to the Father who sent the Spirit and proceeds from him. And then the name of the Lord is depicted by many names, as I mentioned. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim. Elohim is a plural name for God. And later in that chapter, it says, let us make man in our own image. Our God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he's known as El Shaddai, God Almighty. And then you remember when, as we read about Isaiah, seeing the Lord high and lifted up, that's Adonai. Remember that when Moses went before the bush, it's burning. And he asks his name and he says, I am that I am, Yahweh. There are four Hebrew consonants, YHWH, pronounced Yahweh or some Jehovah. And the Lord actually has a number of compound names that he declares himself in the scripture. He says he's Yahweh Jireh or Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. We're to hallow him as our provider. Worship him as the provider of all things, our salvation and every other good thing. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's healed you of all your sins, of all your infirmities, of all your physical ailments. And then he is Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner, whom we hold high. And then Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. He's Yahweh Ra'ah, the Lord our shepherd. Yahweh Tzedkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is present. You know, we have three names maybe, People have called us nicknames, and God has so many names in the scripture. It's a grand study. And all of these names come in a context as you're reading through the Bible. And you read of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks of himself as the I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the vine. You read the Gospel of John, you'll find seven I ams. And then he says, before Abraham was, I am, declaring himself as God. And so hallowed be your name. When we hallow his name, we hallow him in all of his attributes. Brother Tom mentioned his communicable attributes in the sermon this morning. And we think of those of, he has incommunicable attributes, things that he cannot give to us. He cannot give to us omnipresence. When we're in heaven, you'll be in one spot. You won't be in two or three or ten, but he will be everywhere. His independence, only God is completely independent. His simplicity, only God is perfectly one without parts. We have parts. He is infinite. He is immutable. He does not change. He is eternal. We have an eternal life ahead of us, but we didn't have an eternal life behind us. God is eternal. His immensity, the heavens and the earth cannot contain him. He's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. These are things he cannot give to us. And we worship him. We hallow him. We honor him in all of his ways, all of his being. He's also manifested by his communicable attributes. Knowledge. He has given us some knowledge. Wisdom. Truth. Holiness, his righteousness, his justice, his goodness, his love. We're to love one another. We're even to love our enemies. That comes from God. His grace, his mercy, his patience or long-suffering. All of these things. As we meditate upon the Lord, we hallowed be your name. May you be hallowed. And so this is the first petition. And we pray, Lord, help me to grow in this. In heaven, you will perfectly hallow the Lord. In this life, we have to be washed from the blood of Christ, with the blood of Christ, for all the ways we have not, how we have not honored him as we should. But praise God, we have this Savior who forgives us of this. And he being our mediator, he can actually take our prayers washed in his blood. And the Spirit also intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So our prayers are received by the Lord through Christ. We hallow his name because of the redemption we have, the payment for our sins. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And we hallow him in seeking to keep his commandments. We honor him. Lord, all that I do, all that I say, help me honor you, hallow you, worship you in it. We've considered the introduction. In this manner, therefore, pray. We've considered the preface to the prayer, our Father who is in heaven. And finally, the first petition, hallowed be your name. So what could be a couple of applications? Well, may the Lord give us to praying as he prayed, told us to pray. He's given us this perfect model. May we then use it. May we use it in ourselves, in our private prayer. Use it in our families. And use it with our children. Teach them how to pray in this way. You know, I will just tell you, there's a false teaching that we shouldn't teach our children to pray because they're lost. They really can't pray. And it wouldn't be right. It would be wrong not to teach them to pray, because the scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Our children from their earliest days should be taught to call upon the Lord, because he is their father. He said, let the little children come to them. And so they can call upon him as well and pray. And then secondly, may the Lord help us to do exactly what he said, to give ourselves to worshiping him to honoring him, to glorifying him in all we say and do. I'd like to close in reading Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is a wonderful way to end the Psalms. It's like it takes off into eternity. And if you haven't been praising him before, you will praise him in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this access into your presence by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have been brought together to worship you, Lord, to hallow your name this day and forever. We do pray that you would help us, Lord, as one body in Christ to grow in loving you, serving you, obeying you, Lord, keeping your commandments by your grace. We do pray you'd fill us with your Spirit this week to honor you, to obey the word we've heard today, Lord. We pray that our marriages would grow in grace, that our children would see parents loving them more and loving themselves more, husband and wife. We pray, Father, for this congregation that, Lord, wherever you send us this week, Lord, you'd help us to declare the glory of Christ in all we say and do. Help us be mindful of the lost around us, that they need you, Lord, and we have the gospel in our hearts. Help us to speak words that would direct them to your glory and honor. And Lord, we pray you'd convict them of their sins. Father, we do pray for our nation, that you'd have mercy upon our land and send revival. You know we've sinned grievously against you. And Lord, we just ask you for mercy. Father, we do thank you for the mothers that you've raised up in our midst, children, Lord, that have been brought into this world by mothers. We thank you, Father, for this great blessing. And Lord, we just commit our day to you. Help us to continue to honor you for Jesus' sake. Amen.